Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, once again bringing you Two Guys with Heart with a very good program. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave, we're going to really have a good subject to talk about today. Continuing on our thought process, we've been talking about greatness and how people become great, and what do you and I have to do to fall into that category. Everyone in this good old world that we live in wants to accomplish great things. And when we're gone and we're no longer walking about this good old earth, we want people to be able to reflect backwards and say, look, I remember that person, and they did some great things that impacted my life. I think that is the greatest compliment that a person could possibly receive. After you're gone, people remember something that you did. And isn't that what we all kind of strive for? I think so. At least there's a bit of that in each one of us. And I want to talk about how we acquire those things. Let's face it, nothing ever was created without someone dreaming about the possibilities of developing it in the first place. The automobile had to be somebody's mindset before it was invented. And you can say that about anything that on this good old earth. People have to have a dream. They have to have a vision. They have to want to accomplish something great in order to get there. And you have to be able to visualize it in your mind before the time comes. I know a little story about a great basketball player. The young man dedicated his whole life to this one dream. He wanted to play professional basketball. And he drilled himself, practicing 8 to 12 hours a day so that he could play college ball on a scholarship. Even as early as sixth grade, he had a dream of being the first player to earn $1 million salary. That was unheard of in the old days. But dreams don't confine themselves to what has already been done. This dreamer saw great possibilities. In college, he averaged 43 points a game in his sophomore year and 44 in his junior and senior year. Those numbers are amazing, much more so in the era before three-point shots was a part of the game. He became the NBA's top draft pick, the first player to be paid a seven-figure salary, and the youngest inductee into the Baseball Hall of Fame. His dream turned into reality. Who was this great man? Well, I remember him as being called Pistol Pete, but his name was Pistol Pete Maravich. His story was in Sports Illustrated when I was just a youngster. I had a similar dream, and I caught his vision for how to accomplish it. I saw how he had dedicated himself, so I began to do the drills that he did. Behind the back passes, between the leg dribbles, endless free throws and shots from every angle imaginable. I usually played ball or at least 8 hours a day, sometimes as much as 11 or 12 hours. And even when I watched TV, I'd go through the mechanics of jump shots, and I was obsessive about it, and I was very, very focused on playing ball. Now, I know that you had to be a basketball player, Dave. You're 6'5", and you're slender build. You had to be a basketball superstar. How did all that begin in your life? Did you mark yourself around someone like Pete Maravich?
Well, my father wouldn't even allow me to play basketball at school.
Is that right?
I tried out for, my dad said, son, you waste your time running up and down the floor trying to put a ball in through the hoop. And one year the coach asked me when I was in the 11th grade, said, Dave, you're tall. I don't know if you play basketball. You don't know anything about the sport. And I said, that's right, I don't. I play alley ball. he said, I'd like to put you on the team. I think you could do us good. So I went home and I said, Dad, the coach said, please come be on the team. And I said, Dad, come on. For one time, let me do something that I really think I could be good at. He said, okay. Man, I got... But 3 days later, I'm running up and down the floor with all the other guys, and I look up at the coach, and he blew the whistle, and there was my dad standing up there beside the coach. And I walked off the floor, walked up to the booth, and I said, what's happened, Dad? He said, son, it's over. You're wasting your time. Get your clothes. You're not going to play basketball in this school. I shook the coach's hand and said, sorry, sir. Sorry, but I got to honor my father. I didn't play basketball, but when I went to Bible college, when I got to school, they taking me a tour around the Bible college, and there was a great big gymnasium, and the guys are in there shooting basketball, and they said, this is your baby. You can play here as often as you want. There's a league. You can get on a team. You can play your heart out. And I made the all-star team. I scored the most points in our school for 4 years. And every time we got a picture in our magazine for the school, I'd send it home to my dad. Dad, look at this. Look at this. You see what I'm doing? I'm enjoying it. You know, those were fun days.
Oh, yeah.
For learning how to do something that you always wanted to do and never dreamed you could. It's like singing. I never sang until I got to Bible college. Can you believe that? Never sang a note in my life.
Yeah, I believe it.
And I didn't know what was a bass note or what was a tenor. And it was very confusing to me. But I went down the practice room every night after supper and sang. They had about 20 rooms down there, and they had somebody in every room learning how to practice and sing and whatever they wanted to do with music. And that's where the career started, in a little room about as big as this office right here. Yeah. Enough room for a piano and some guys to stand around it. And little by little, finally, when they said, hey, we're gonna give ourselves a name and start. We're going to start with the name Couriers. And look what it led to, 60 years of singing around the world. Unbelievable that I would be able to be something that I dreamed about but never had done in my life.
How about that?
It's like being on radio here. Yeah. Who dreamed that we would be here on a microphone talking for years about the things of life and how we ask God to make our voices and our hearts show? That's why we called our program Two Guys with Heart.
That's us.
Because when it comes to your radio and you turn it up and you're listening, what we have said is prayerfully put together, and what comes out of that radio is powerful. If you observe it and listen to it and reach for it and say, I want that, God can make it an explosion in your life. And you can walk away from the radio broadcast from WPFG, and you can begin to say, I'm going to put this in my life, and I'm going to do something that I never dreamed possible, and the rest will be history. The rest will be, wow, I did that. When I look back to my life, I said, man, it is a miracle of miracles that I am where I am, but because I pursued it, even when my father said no. I said, I'll still tackle it, even when I got to school. I learned how to sing and play basketball the same day.
How about that? So you fulfilled your dream.
I did, and I'm still dreaming.
That's right. That's right. That's one of the things you taught me years ago. You taught me, you said, hey, Giff, I haven't lived my best day yet. I remember you saying that. You're quite sincere about that. You always have a bright outlook for tomorrow as being a great day. And today is better than yesterday, and tomorrow will be better again.
That's right. I have not lived my best day.
Yes. What a wonderful outlook you have.
Whoa. And when that best day comes,
it'll
be so big, because I have lived some big days.
Yes, you have.
I have lived some big days.
Yeah.
You'd think I was bragging to think about what I've lived. But if I have not yet lived my best day, wow, do I have something great.
You have something to look forward to. Absolutely right. And that's just a wonderful outlook to have on life, that things are just going to keep getting better. And it doesn't matter. Age has nothing to do with it. Where you live has nothing to do with it. And life is life wherever you are. It doesn't matter if you live in California, if you live in Oregon, if you live in Florida, if you live in Mississippi, or you live in Pennsylvania, or you live in Maine. It doesn't matter where you live. Life is life. And you've got to make the very best of it. And there's only one person who gets the credit and one person who gets the blame for the good, the bad, the ugly, and that's you. Look in the mirror and find out. Dave, you are so correct. The inspiration you've shared with our listeners is second to none. And I thank you for doing that. What is this about the dream that drives the people, though? And I want people to learn how to shape everything that we do. And I can't say today that my dream was the right one, or even a good one for that matter. Obviously, my dreams have changed drastically over the years. But that sense of absolute commitment to a goal has kind of stuck with me. It's like you're talking about, Dave, with your basketball and your singing. It sticks with you. And even though my dream might seem small in retrospect to look backwards to think about it, it pays for wherever you are in life today. It also gives you an opportunity to travel with other great people and sharing about Christ and witnessing to other people in nearly every country in this good old earth that we live in. People are thriving to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. It has shaped our lives in a way that we could not have imagined. Great accomplishments usually begin with the pursuit of a dream. Some dreamers, like we just talked about, Pete Maravich, he accomplished exactly the goal that he set out to accomplish. Others, like me, are directed along the way as God refines and it kind of shapes their attitude or their passion. Either way, the future is shaped by a version held dear in the hearts of us human beings. There's a tremendous power in a dream. When you believe in a picture of the future, that the picture bleeds out of the heart, not because you have to or because you ought to accomplish it, it's just a matter of life. That blows the wind in your sails. It controls the direction of the course of your life. It can also direct the course of history. Quite a few dreams have gone that, both positively and negatively. Alexander had the great dream of ruling the world and his conquest to shape Western civilization. Remember reading that? It's written in Greek of his expanding his empire. Well, he persecuted Christians and political malcontent dreamed of a land of protected and freedoms, but their colonial territories of Americas have flourished before and after their independence. Hitler dreamed of establishing a superiority of his race. Remember studying that stuff? And resulting war devastated half of the world, deeply scarring the Jewish people and, well, for that matter, all people, and shaped the political landscape to this day. How about Martin Luther King dreamed of a society without racism? And his efforts helped define the movement that radically altered American culture for the better. It's no coincidence that King's greatest speech is known for this one phrase, "I have a dream where for good or for evil, whether of an individual or a group, can be a mighty influence." That's powerful. You see, we see the same dynamics in our church history. You know, Paul dreamed of preaching Christ before philosophers and emperors, and the church spread throughout Asia and Europe. William Carey dreamed of taking the gospel to India, and the entire mission movement was born. Hudson Taylor dreamed of reaching China's interior with the gospel, and the underground Chinese church that flourishes today. Dwight Moody had a dream for the young people of Chicago and ended up launching a church, establishing a network of schools, starting a Bible college, and cultivating an evangelistic movement. Those are just a few examples among the very many throughout history. Great works among all great people starts with a great dream. And that's what we're talking about today. What is your great dream? It really doesn't matter if you're 7 or 70. Your heart should be captivated by a version on how to serve God and accomplish something for his kingdom. If you're like many, you have drowned your dreams long ago as unrealistic or impractical. And perhaps it was. But there was some element of it that God put within you, something he wants you to inspire and direct you. Many of the elements being directed by God's eyes will point towards this very basic principle. Think great thoughts, reading great books, pursuing great people, and the other characteristics of greatness that we talked about earlier. These are God-given dreams, and it's a practical means for you to accomplish them. To fulfill His purpose and build His kingdom, God will first and foremost direct your energy towards the one thing, captivating your heart with great dreams.
Great dreams are. I can't tell you how, when I dreamed the day that we would visit all 50 states. I had only been in Pennsylvania all my life. Went to Bible college, got in a group, and came and moved to Pennsylvania. And then I said to myself, they're going to let me book this group. I'm going to book it for all 50 states. And we did. It took us about maybe 10 years, but we went to every state. Then we found Canada. They have 11 provinces from Newfoundland all the way to the Yukon. And I said, hey, let's do Canada. We booked in Newfoundland. I still remember 7 days in Newfoundland. It poured rain every day. We never went back. We don't ever think of Newfoundland as a great place. It rained cats and dogs for 7 days. And then we finished that. We said, well, you know, what are we going to do now? And then the dream came. Why not visit 50 foreign countries? Call the missionary. Tell them we'll lay brick. We'll dig ditch. We'll sing. We'll preach. We'll talk. We'll sing. We'll have fun. And boy, it wasn't long until we were capturing almost 60 countries of the world. I dreamed of going to the Holy Land. But, you know, I didn't have any money. How am I going to get to the Holy Land? A dream just turned into, let's see how we can do this. And we spent 8 years in a row going to the Holy Land, 1 year at a time. Yeah. And then when that all finished, we said, hey, we've been in the Holy Land 8 years. Come on, what can we do now? And then these big ships for cruises started in the West Indies. And we said, yeah. And for the next 8 years, we did a cruise every year. We had to spend 16 years of absolutely fulfilling a dream every day that we were living. And on and on and on and on it goes. When I came home from Bible school the first year, I had grown up. I knew how to talk to my dad finally. I said, Dad, I got to sit down and talk to you because I grew up while I was in school for a year. I learned some things. So listen, Dad, we need a TV in this house. And you and me are going downtown tomorrow and we're buying a TV for our house. I said, why are we doing that? I said, well, you think that you have saved us all from TV. Not true. We're over at the neighbors. We know all the programs. But we want to do it on our own house. Next day, we bought a TV. My dad, my second brother, he wanted to be in sports like I did. And I said, Dad, you kept me out of sports. I didn't do one sport. I don't know how to do anything. But here's Phil. He's 10 years younger than me. And now he wants to be in sports. And he loves to play tennis. I want you to put your whole life into Phil and say, Phil, go for it. Dad's with you. And I went to Phil and I said, Phil, you're gonna play tennis? He said, yeah, but I don't have any shoes, tennis shoes. Dad can't buy me any. We're too poor. I said, we're going to town. We're going to buy the best shoes that you could ever find. And the next day, we brought him home, showed Dad, we got some new tennis shoes. And Phil, you know, he got so good that he was in the final match for the championship of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
He won all the games till the last one. And he came in second. But he had a lifetime of playing tennis. He still plays in his 60s. He plays every doctor and lawyer that there is in Pennsylvania and enjoys it. All because somebody created a dream.
Yeah.
Why don't you just get on your knees and say, Lord, come on, give me a dream. Let me fulfill something that I really like and I really want to do. And show me the way. Show me the person that can help me. Give me the phone number that I can. And if you can't do it yourself as a parent, put it into your children. Let your children become dreamers. Let them dream little dreams at first and then bigger dreams. And finally, they'll blow you away as to what they want to do with their life and what school they want to go to and what kind of car they want to drive and what kind of clothes they want to wear. They'll blow your mind. I have 8 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren. I have 15 of them. And they are dreamers like you have never seen. Because Pappy is still a part of their lives. And their moms and dads have learned a long time ago how to be dreamers. And so now we have 15 more people that are going to grow up with a dream, second to none. If I live long enough, and it's going to have to be a long time because it's going to take them 20 years to grow up and to get started, I expect my family to do big things that I never even dreamed of myself. They're going to be bigger.
I'm with you 100%, Dave. I believe that's right. So your younger brother was your Timothy, and you were his Paul.
That's right.
Yep. He needed a mentor, and you were the person to do it. And I bet that you had reflections of his greatness that impacted your life as well, wasn't it? Wow, what a wonderful story that is. I thank you for sharing. That's the point that we were trying to illustrate. You speak so well from the heart. Dave, I thank you for what you contribute. You are definitely an inspiration from God. Think about that now. God established his people through this unlikely event that we're having here on the radio station. God delights to do the impossible. Things thought improbable, people do great things, and they are exceeding the grace that they've received, and they're passing on positive things to the next generation, like Dave is with his family. Almost like we have undeserved it, but good things happen to us because we expose ourselves to great people. Think about that. God established his people through the unlikely events of our lifetime from a very odd group of people. You think our parents started off very wise and knowing what they wanted to do when they were very young, and they happened to coincidentally meet and decide to get married and raise a family that you were a part of? Do you think all that was an accident? I think that's all part of God's plan. But you have to do your part. You have to be worthy. You have to concentrate and stay focused on doing your work for the good. And dream big. There's nothing great to... low hopes never got anybody. Have high hopes in this good old world that we live in. What did low hopes ever get you? Got you nothing. So dream big. Be a part of this huge body of people that accomplish great things in this good old world we live in. And why should great things just be for other people? It should be for you too. It's a great big world we live in. We have a lot of grace, a lot of smiles, and a lot of good things can happen if you open your heart to the receiving God's word and God's guidance. That's what we're talking about. Dave, once again, we have to say goodbye. Maya, it seems like as soon as we get into these subjects, we have to say goodbye to our listeners, but we have to do what we have to do. Right now, it's Gift Briner saying so long, and we hope to see you again real soon. Bye-bye.
And your friend, my name is Dave Colonin. I'm the chaplain here at WPFG. I couldn't be happier in my life than to share this kind of radio broadcast with you and your family. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.